9 today in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 9. Today I want to talk about the harvest and the workers from one of Jesus' parables. We are in November for our church. We've always called November Compassion Month. It's a month that we focus on compassion ministries of the church, things that we do outside of this church. And I shared this last week, and I'll share it again. As a church, we have three basic values. Those values are worship, community, and compassion. Worship being our relationship with God, community being our relationship with each other, and compassion being our relationship with those who are not yet here or not yet experienced the love of God, which is a large group of people. And so we're focusing on that this month, and we are receiving a special offering in 2 weeks to fund both those outreaches and a demolition and possible future rebuilding project that we talked about a good bit. We've had videos. We had a family meeting where we all came. It was really great. I want to say this, too. I've had a few folks in the last few weeks who've talked to me and felt like, there's just things I don't understand about, why are we taking a special offering, or why are we going to demo this space over here, and the idea of that. And I just want to say three words if you're in that place. And those three words are, talk to me. Okay, we've provided videos, emails, Facebook stuff. Again, we had family meeting where we had chocolate, and we all ate too much chocolate and showed blueprints and went through the financials and all the stuff. In addition to that, I just want to say, when you do something that's kind of different as a church, it's real easy for us to kind of like, wait. I mean, just when we moved from our old place to here 9 years ago, we had a lot of folks that just couldn't handle the change, and they left. And, I understand that sometimes change is hard, but I just want to say those three words again. If you're struggling with that, talk to me. There's already some who've even left the church. I'll just tell you this, and it's like no filter today. This is out of the will of God, and it will distract us from the Lord if we do anything like that. We should never do that. I'm thinking if we never did that, we'd never be here. Like, we'd still be in my house, which wouldn't fit all you guys, So just talk to me, just if that's a thing. Compassion Month, wasn't last week great? Yeah. Wow, we had the guys from the homeless mission here, and it was just a great, great, great Sunday. And a few of the other things our church is supporting or has supported over the years, we have a wonderful dry goods pantry. We support members in need and help pay bills. We've worked with drug rehab. We've worked with three different agencies that fight human trafficking. We have sent money to help with disaster relief and foreign missions. So there's a lot of different things that we're doing. But I want to say this, and this is maybe a little strange to you, but did you know what our greatest mission is? Our greatest mission is this. This is our greatest mission. There's all kinds of studies that have done about missiology and missions and church planting, and it's been discovered that the most people come to Christ and become disciples of Christ through a local church somewhere. The local church is incredibly powerful, guys. This meeting, the things we do Thursday night, the women's retreat, the men's camping groups, the home groups, the outreaches, the local church is an incredibly beautiful and powerful weapon for God's army to fight back the darkness. And so that's what we're going to focus on a little bit in the next couple weeks. And going to talk about this parable that Jesus talks about in Matthew 9. I'm going to talk for just a few minutes, maybe 15-ish, and then we're going to have some folks from the church come up and talk to you and talk about what does it mean to work. So let's pray, and then we're going to read just a couple verses today, and I'm going to share a few thoughts, and we'll have some people share. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into what we are doing and what we will do. And we ask that you would be the one that is our head, our guide, and Lord, would you show us? Would you show us the way? Would you move in this church? Would you continue moving in a greater way? We say that we want nothing to do with pretending or formality, but we want to do with what you're doing on the earth, and that is bringing hope and light to the poor and the lost. And so we give you permission as a church family, and we say again, come and teach and lead and guide us and form us into what you would have us do, that many would experience your love and that you would receive glory. And Lord, we say this morning, as we talk about working, we just say first, we love you. We are not your workers. We are your sons and daughters. And may that always be first. And from that, we gladly go and serve others and wash feet. But we just return to you again this morning. We just say we love you. You are good, and we give thanks to you. And we say that your love endures forever and ever. And you are Almighty God, a great God, but also a merciful God. And we just love being in your presence, being your children, being loved by you, being safe in your goodness, for you are good. So be honored, Lord, and come and speak to us through your word today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 9:37, if you're new to the Bible, it's the first book of the New Testament, so flip there, or thumb there if you're using your phone. Matthew 9:37, Jesus says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I asked Chris, who was the fellow that shared last week, to speak to us unfiltered, and I felt that I want to speak to you a little bit unfiltered today. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In order for a church to be effective, what are we here for? Does anybody know? We're here to love God and bring Him glory. Make disciples of all nations. Yes, yes, and that's it. That's kind of it. I mean, we do a lot of stuff, right? But it's always about those who are not yet here. The chairs next to you that are empty, in them, you know, where were you before Jesus? I remember where I was. And I was welcomed into church and welcomed into the family of God. And so church exists to bring glory to God. That's our first calling. But right behind that is to love our neighbor as ourselves and to make disciples of all nations. So we're to go as a light into the darkness. In order for us to be effective, we must be a place where people participate. And speaking and sharing a message like this goes very much counter to Christian culture today, because the model in the United States is one not of involvement and not of service, but of uninvolvement and lack of commitment. It's very normal for us to seek out, as Christians, a place, a church, small or large, where Christian product is delivered. We go, we hear, it's dispensed to us, we leave, and then we come back a week later. And does it affect us much at all? I wonder. It's kind of like McDonald's. Does anyone like McDonald's? I love McDonald's. It's horrible for you. I'd never eat there. I have not eaten there probably in 10 or 15 years. But I would love right now to get a Big Mac and just eat it. I could probably eat two or three. But it's just not good for you. It might satisfy for the moment, but it's not good for you. And artificial, spectator, branded Christianity that says, come, watch, feel good, leave, rinse and repeat a week from now, is not church. It's not Christian faith. Instead, Jesus says to us, there's a huge harvest, but there's so few people to work in it. So I would ask you, as your Christian faith and as your church experience, and for some of us, it's going to feel a little unfiltered, but is it a cruise ship or is it a battleship? I want to show you a picture of the Celebrity Beyond. Look at that. I've been on that boat. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with vacations. I'm going to tell you about that boat. It has a 141,000 tonnage. It is 1,065 feet long. It has 1,632 cabins. It has 3,250 passengers. The crew is 1,450. It offers 32 separate individual restaurants, a spa fitness center, a three-story grand plaza, world-class live entertainment, a rooftop garden, stops to hundreds of exotic locations. And that's just the beginning of your experience on a cruise with a celebrity beyond. Is your Christian faith a cruise ship or is it a battleship? Now, I'm not saying we don't need to cruise sometimes. Are you ever tired? Yeah. I was so tired last night because I didn't sleep the night before because I went camping. And I'm 52 and I probably shouldn't be sleeping on the ground anymore. So, and the thunder woke me up I was like at minute 37 of sleep. And the thunder woke me up and it was all over. And so I went to sleep at 7:30 last night. I slept for 10 hours. It was incredible. You need that sometimes, don't you? We need it. I'm not saying you don't need it. But is my faith a cruise ship or a battleship? I want to show you another boat. This is the USS New Jersey demonstrating its amazing arsenal. It fought in World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Lebanese Civil War, the Persian Gulf War. It's 887 feet long. It has a displacement of 58,000 tons, propulsion via four 53,000 horsepower turbines, powered by eight 650 PSI Type M boilers. The armament, it has nine 50 caliber Mark VII cannons, three gun turrets. I've got seven lines of this. It can shoot an armor-piercing shell 23 miles away. Wow. It also has anti-aircraft missiles. It has armor box launchers. It has quad cell launchers designed to fire Tomahawk missiles and Harpoon missiles. And it's also fitted with a nuclear armament. The USS New Jersey. Which one of those two boats is your experience as a Christian? In one, you come and enjoy and get fed. In the other, you come and you get fed and you'll probably enjoy. We had pretty good coffee today. But you also have a job to do. And church is a place where a church that is following after the adventure of God is right in the middle of the harvest of broken, lost, addicted, lonely people. And we have a job to do. It's a battleship. Going, as Jesus said, Matthew 16, into the gates of hell. They won't stand against it. But you've got a job to do. As a pastor over the years, I many times receive criticisms. And what I've noticed is that a lot of times the criticisms tend to come from people that are doing nothing. It's kind of like, oh. It's real easy to find everything wrong, especially when you're not doing anything to make it any better. Another graphic, the lines of life. I showed this a few weeks ago. The lines are quite long to criticize and gossip and get involved. It starts getting smaller, and to encourage gets smaller, and then to help gets even smaller. And here's the conviction part of this message. If you're struggling, I would say this is a reason why people don't do the work. Because what I've tried to do so far is say, There's always going to be spectators, and there's always going to be participants. And my job as a pastor is to try to get as many of us to become participants instead of spectators in the stuff of God, teaching you to heal the sick, teaching you to cast out demons, teaching you to share the gospel, teaching you to use your gift, whatever it is. And they're all the same. It doesn't matter if you're preaching or making a tablecloth. In God's eyes, guys, it's all the same. Am I being obedient, using what he put in here to bless other people? And there's reasons I thought of four. I'll real quickly take us through these that we don't want to work. The first is trauma. A lot of times we don't want to work because we have trauma. We're struggling. We just need to be in the hospital. We're not quite ready to get on the battleship yet. And if you're in that place, I want to say that's okay. Like, if you're in that place, it's okay. Just don't stay in that place, okay? Here's what happens a lot of times with trauma. We let trauma become our identity. And then we accept that who we are is we are traumatized, and we never move past that. And I'm not saying that some trauma you never move past, guys. Some trauma you'll carry with you forever. There's things that have happened to me that I'm never going to get healed of until I see Jesus face to face. And that's okay. Paul, someone over here read that this morning. I'm content with my weakness. I have a thorn, it won't go away. But Paul didn't identify with his thorn. He didn't identify with his brokenness and his trauma. He said, I've got this, and I'm still going to follow Jesus and work and do my thing. So there's a time to sit, and there's a time to work through our stuff. And hey, here's a secret. I'm still working through my stuff. I am still working through my stuff right now. But I can't identify with my stuff and let it paralyze me. Because here's what happens. If you identify with your trauma, it will paralyze you, and your gifts will get rusty. If you identify with your trauma, it will paralyze you, and your gifts, the things God put in you before you were born, that he knew when you came out of the womb and grew, at some point you were going to take those things and use them to bring beauty and love and purity and life into other humans who are in darkness. And if we identify too much with trauma, what happens is all those things that we have and we're capable of become rusty. And we live our lives on a phone or a tablet, and we never become what God has called us to be. So be careful of that one. The second one is laziness. Sometimes we don't work because we're just lazy. I would just rather watch Netflix. Who likes to be lazy? Golly, I love being lazy. I'm not good at it because I'm a type A. I'm an Enneagram 1. But man, when I'm lazy, I'll be lazy and procrastinate. And we need times to be lazy. But if you're lazy in your faith, if you're lazy in your giving, I would suggest, stop being lazy. Confront the laziness. Tell God, God, I'm lazy. Help. Help me out of this slothfulness that keeps me from being in the person and doing the things you called me to do. Another one is worldliness. Reasons why people don't work. Worldliness. We can get so covered up with the things of the world that we no longer know how to hear God or even notice the things of God. And this is one I'm just not going to talk much about, but if you identify with this, I would just really encourage you, and I'm still doing this. I'm still repenting of the stains of the world in my life because it just draws me in. As much as I try to read this book and seek the Lord, I still feel the things of the world. We all have the things that are going to pull us in. And so I would just encourage you, if you're in that place, it's okay. You're just like me. We're all the same. And I go to the Lord and I repent. Lord, I repent. James chapter 4, I think it is. Chapter 1, the stains of the world. Take them off of me and draw me after you that I wouldn't become compromised. And then another one I thought of is just busyness. Busyness will keep you from doing the work of God. Did you know that? Did you know that some people are so busy doing ministry that they don't have any time to do ministry? Let me say that again. Some people are so busy doing ministry that they don't have any time to do real ministry. We're so busy doing stuff that we're maybe not doing so much that's effective. Let me read one more passage, and then we're going to hear from a few people. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, just a few books over from the last one. Ephesians chapter 2. I referred to this earlier. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So when the Lord made Jeff, and when the Lord made Mark, and when the Lord made Vanessa, you know, when the Lord made Eva, he knew there was something, he put something in you, right? He put some in you that you didn't make. He made it in you, and then as you grew, hopefully you discovered what those things are, or maybe you are discovering what those things are. And I want to emphasize again, they're all equal. A great singing voice is no better or worse than a person that is really good at serving in kids' church. It's just not. In fact, the one serving over there, might be the more pleasing gift to God. I don't know. It's all about what do we have put in us, and then am I obedient with that gift? That he put something in us. And I was talking to a pastor friend. It's about these verses that we're looking at, particularly the harvest and the workers one. And a friend of mine, some of you guys might know this person. He said he had a vision as he was mulling over this passage. And the vision was that he was in this really nice Jeep. It was a 4x4 Jeep. It had big tires, right? And it had the top open, and it was dirty with mud. And he was in this jungle, like Temple of Doom jungle, right? Okay, like a thick jungle. And he was standing outside of the Jeep, and the gas cap was open. And it was apparent to him that there was no gas in the tank. And he had a map in his hands, sort of like this map. Now, you guys don't know what this is if you're under the age of 35. But we rolled hard back in the day. We had to stop in the middle of nowhere and fight with our wife or girlfriend about which road was, whose fault it was that we... Now you just ask your phone. So there's this Jeep with big tires and the snorkel and all the things. And there's this guy out there, and he's in the middle of this beautiful jungle, and he's got this map, and he's got the map. It's out like this. And it's got all these places you could go. Like, look at all these places you could go, right? And he's surrounded with people. There's like 100 people. And in one hand, every one of them has a finger, and they're pointing on the map. So he's surrounded. There's just all these fingers pointing on this map of where they should go. And then in the other hand, they have an empty gas tank. And he related to me how that's just how it felt sometimes, that there's just so much to do and there's so many ideas of what to do and how it should be done, but there's just not a lot of gas being offered to make it happen. Have you ever felt like that? We all probably have. But the Lord says in Ephesians 2 that he has works for us and that together we can do them. Some of us grew up on the poem Footprints in the Sand. Does anyone still have that in their house? Don't be ashamed. You got it, man. You got that 80s, 90s. Some of you guys are like, am I still cool? Don't be ashamed. Footprints in the Sand. It's a story that Jesus carried a man in the hard times. And being carried by Jesus is awesome and needed. Sometimes, though, we need to stand up and dust off our backside and go after the work God has called us to. This is a much less poem, a famous poem I'm going to read to you. This one is not called Footprints in the Sand. This one is called Buttprints in the Sand. And it goes like this. One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen, the footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not there along the shore. But then some strange prints appeared. I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they're too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and you made me wait. You disobeyed and would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand. Amen. Amen. We are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ, that we should walk in them. So how do we do that? Well, I would encourage you to focus on the harvest. We focus on the harvest. We focus on the harvest. You know, for me, the easiest way to focus on the harvest is, and maybe you have your own story. You know, I remember, like, I'm just thinking of Jay, because Jay, I think, like, I'm going to butcher the story, but Jay, like, saw an article I'd written in the paper, and then he, like, wasn't real familiar with church and drove here, like, in the afternoon or something. On a Thursday at 10 a.m., and he just thought, like, there's just always people at churches ready to lead you in the prayer of salvation. And he was in the parking lot crying, if I remember, like, just under massive conviction. And how many years ago is that? Five, six, seven?
Eight,
yeah. And, you know, and he came here, and he was shocked that there's, like, no one here manning the church, you know, like, no one's manning the turret, you know. And somehow we got involved. He came here and gave his life to the Lord. I think he may be the biggest person we've ever baptized. And, you know, and he's here with his kids, and it's beautiful. And so that was me. I was in that place in the year 1990. I was falling apart, desperate, without a friend in the world, and Jesus came to me. And, you know, I say this all the time, Jesus saved me, but the church healed me. And the church then did this. And so for me, my motivation to be a worker is to look at the harvest and remember where I came from and how God, and everyone in this room has a story. But where was I when Jesus came and found me and picked me up and took me from darkness to light? And that, for me, motivates me and say, okay, I'm going to ride the cruise boat 1 week a year. I'm going to eat all the food. But when I'm not off, I'm going to be on. I'm going to turn on the light, and I'm going to shine it, and I'm going to let him move through my life. All right, we have a few folks who are going to come and share. Let's start with the behind-the-scenes crew. That's Zoe and Laura. Let's give them a hand. Zoe, why don't you start with, give us a minute or two, react to this message.
I thought you were going to ask me questions.
I might ask some questions, but I did, yeah. I lied.
I demand questions.
All right, here's a question. You came to this church pretty broken, and now you do a lot. And you've done a lot for 17 years, right?
Yeah.
So tell the people, how did you not burn out?
You know, there's times. There was a time I was really excited to be a spectator in a group. I was excited about the leader and the vision they had, and it's like, I'm going to go spectate in this group. It's going to be great. You know, and then the dice of the universe rolled, and then Jeff's like, hey, I think I need you to lead that group. It's like, that was not in my plan. But if I hadn't done that, that group might not have happened. So sometimes you just find yourself in a situation, and you're like, do I want this to happen? Do I want this church to go on? Do I want this thing that I'm excited about to happen? And so you just keep showing up. The most of the battle, guys, is just showing up. That's it. Just got to get your feet to the thing. And then doing the thing is not so bad once you get there.
Is there a lot to do around here?
Yes, so many things.
Is there... do you think sometimes it feels like there's a small group of people doing a lot of things?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think your life would be simpler if more people did some of the things you were doing?
Sure.
You're supposed to be in front. Yeah. So Zoe coordinates a lot of our service teams, and four of them, I think.
Three or four,
yeah, something like that. And she'd love to get you involved in a way. And by the way, we have stuff we do here, guys, but, you know, we're 25 years in as a church, but there's another 25 years. And that's going to look very different from the first 25. It's really good. There's ministries that haven't even happened yet, and they're in your heart right now to start. There's instruments that are going to be up here that you play. You just haven't gotten it out of the closet yet, okay? There's leadership in some of us in this room that hasn't quite emerged yet, but it's about ready to poke through the ground. And we, as the staff of this church, this is two of the four, but we want to help you get there.
So there's three big pieces on Sunday morning, and that's worship, which is the people you see up here and the people in the back doing AV. There's the kids' church organization. It's big. There's a lot going on. And then there's the hospitality, which is people in the parking lot waving to you, being like, hey, we're here. Come on in. You know, so for the people like Jay that are like driving by crying, they're like, are there people here? Yes, there's people there. The first person you might see is the safety team. That's a really important team, I think. And then we've got people at the front door like, come on in. It's okay. Come on in. And then we got the coffee team. So it's like kind of getting you in the parking lot, getting you in the door, and then getting you all the way in. So that's hospitality.
Awesome. Laura, you're back there making our internet.
It helps. I have a great team. It's the audiovisual group is...
They can see you if you're in the front.
I know. And you think I know better because I run back there?
So, yeah, exactly. Anyways,
so I have a great team of people that work back there with me. It's a lot. I mean, we show up 2 hours before service starts to set everything up and get worship going and get the slides together. And so it's definitely a job that requires a lot of...
No, wait a minute. Just let me interrupt you.
Thank you.
Are you telling me that all this doesn't just happen?
I wish.
Okay. Please go on.
It does not just happen. To that end, when it comes to like the slides are created every single week on Sunday mornings. The announcement slides are created every week. The band, as you know, changes every week, so we change all the sound settings every week. So it's definitely not something that just happens. It's not something that's here when we show up. It's something that we have to take care of every morning. And it requires a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
Dedication.
There it is. Thank you. It requires a lot of dedication because you got to show up at 8 a.m. And so when you have just, you know, two people that are doing it, it's a lot and to do it 2 or 3 times in a month. And then if there's vacations or if there's sicknesses, it makes it a little bit harder to try to cover in when you don't have a lot of people to do these jobs. So we're always looking for people to help us out and just coming in. It's one of those things, I'll be honest, when I started it at a previous church that closed, but when I was doing it, I was the only person. By the time it got thrown at me, I was the only person doing it, so I was doing it every single Sunday, and it was always on me, and it was really, really hard. When I joined this church, I kind of said, you know what, I'm just going to sit back and watch, and then Jeff...
Then she heard how bad we sounded.
No, because then Jeff decided to do a sermon on, if you're here to just sit and watch, you've got the wrong church. And I was just like, fair enough. So
that's why we're so small.
Right. He's like, see ya. No. And that was probably about 4 or 5 months in. I mean, I did need that break, and I took that break that I needed. But then kind of jumped in feet first. And so, yeah, so I worked that. And then I also have the new mom's room. I'm not a decorator guy, so if anybody wants to, like, help with that, and make it look better, because it needs to be prettier. So if anybody's a decorator, I could use help with that too.
And y'all have some babies, because we can fill it back up.
We got lots of babies coming in. Yeah.
Here they come.
There you go.
Let's give them a hand. Thank you.
I sense some of you are numbers people. So to give you if you need numbers to put in your head. So each month has about 4 Sundays, right? Sometimes there's an extra one. Those are bad months. We don't talk about them. So in a very ideal situation, we would have probably a dedicated volunteer who could do you know, like first Sunday of the first month and then the first Sunday of the next month. So like they're on one time a month, keep everybody rolling, keep everybody rested, and then have some backups or some part-time people to kind of fill in the other spots, people for sickness. So kind of like every slot we have, so that's coffee. I need something like 4 to 6 dedicated people to staff it adequately. When we got more complicated things like AV, we got 2 people back there, we got 3 or 4 people up here. We need to have like 7 unique, this team needs like 7 unique people ideally every week, okay? So that would be ideally maybe 28 people in a month. Are the numbers helping? It can be a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a lot of people. Thank you, ladies. All right, I'm going to move us a little faster just because so we can let everyone talk a bit. Melody, Julie, and Maddie, I want to invite you up to talk about worship. Let's give them a hand. So these are 3 of, we have a few other folks, but I've have them doing other things in the next few weeks, so I didn't want to exhaust them. Julie, tell us why you've been so faithful all these years serving on the worship team. Yeah, in the center, please.
I know that I've heard Jeff say this before, but sometimes service requires doing something that's out of your comfort zone, but also looking for places where you really feel like comfortable. And again, there's a time and place for both things, but in art and in music are both places that I really feel the closest to God. And so I feel like it's one of those things like the Ephesians verse where God's created you to do something. And so worship is one of those things that connects me to God, but it also, like, I feel a passion to extend hospitality to you guys and set the table and make a place that is conducive for you to connect to God and share what he's doing in me, through me, to you guys.
Yeah, and you know, some of you guys have probably noticed is that Julie usually almost always incorporates Spanish into our worship. Is that a gimmick, or tell us why that is?
I majored in Spanish in college because I really had a heart for cross-cultural ministry, and I've done some here and there. It didn't look like and turn out what I thought it would be, and you know, my life's not over yet, so it may in the future sometime. I love language, I excel at it, so it's another one of those things where the gifts that God gives, you use. And so I know, like, when I went to Cuba, I had the experience of, like, we got there late to the service, we just, like, flown in and we walked in. And there's a room full of people singing in a language that I just kind of know, like a kindergartner level know. But I could just feel God's presence, and it didn't matter that it was in another language. And coming back to hospitality is just that I have experienced being in another culture, and sometimes that language being a barrier, and I just feel missional about welcoming people that might be a barrier for coming into a place where English is not their first language. Mm-hmm. And even if they speak English proficiently, to hear the message in their language is it touches a deeper place than when they're trying to, like, do all the translating. Just, you know, and we can all have empathy and imagine what it would be like to try to worship in another language. So,
awesome. Thank you. Melody, tell me why it seems that there's probably some standards for being on this carpet that are sometimes hard to, hard to hit. And you know, with all these people on this that are up here, I've had a lot of conversations. Sometimes they're, you know, really heart-wrenching. Why is that? Why do we have to, like, attain to a standard? Yeah, get up there so they can see you on the sides.
Well, if you see where I'm standing, this will kind of give you a perspective. Who else stands in this spot? The person speaking. So when you're here leading, there's that same authority. So we don't want to take that authority lightly when we are coming to the Lord with worship. And so it's more of, you know, yes, we praise and we worship God and we're all called to it, because at the end of the day, when we're in heaven, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping the Lord and it's going to be great. But here on earth, there is a soberness that comes with realizing that you carry that authority when you're on the worship team. And so we take that seriously, and it's more of like out of reverence for God and reverence for each other, that it's not just something, it's not a rock concert. We don't have smoke machines and lights and, you know, it's not that. It's for the Lord. And it's, we come and we celebrate what God has done Monday through Saturday. On Sunday, we celebrate together, and there are songs that we sing that are about, like, kind of singing to each other, but it's about what God has done for us. And then there are songs that we sing where we're singing directly to the Lord, and we're reminding ourselves of what he's done, and we're telling him how great he is. And that is why worship is important, because you felt it today. I felt it. He comes, he draws near when we lift him up.
Well said. Maddie walked into this church. If you stand there so they can see you on the side. And she kind of met me and looked at me, and she's like, I'll do it. What do you need done? I'll do it. And now you're like, got your fingerprints on everything. Tell us about how does that work in you, or whatever else you wanted to say.
They all got really specific questions.
Yeah, I know.
I came to this church right around, like, I don't know, I consider it like my Renaissance period of my walk with Christ. So I was just like, I was chomping at the bit to like invest as much of myself as I could, because I was seeing like all of this fruit in my life and all of this growth. And I was like, I don't want to slow that down. I don't want to, you know, come out of this time of like growth and discovery about like myself and who I am in Christ and who Christ is calling me to be in not just my own life, but like my life in the church and like what being a part of the body means for me, not just like the generic, you know, everyone's a part of the body. Like, who am I? What part am I? And I didn't want to come here and then just say, I'll get around to it eventually. Because I was so excited about what I was seeing in my life. And so, yeah, I knew I wanted to be involved in worship. And then I help with the hospitality team. I love being a youth leader. So I've just seen a lot of like different skills that were previously unknown to me had I not started serving here in a capacity that I felt like I had a little bit of competency in. And I was like, well, we'll get there eventually. And then through that journey and being involved and being committed, because I think it took commitment, like I had to have longevity in that to start seeing like the new doors pop up in my life. Like, I don't recognize who I was 4.5 or so years ago, because I know more about myself now. And I have a better understanding of who I am today and who God is pulling me into being. I don't know. Does that answer that question?
Yeah.
Like, I think you see people like show up for like a month or two and like do a couple things here and there, and then they like disappear. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, sorry, I don't know if maybe this is unfiltered, but like, you have to keep doing it.
You grow when you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
And the converse is true also. When you don't do, again, there are seasons. But a lot of times when we don't do what God has put in us, we don't grow. We just plateau. Thanks, ladies, all three of you. We have Casey and Vanessa. I want to tell the other four that I'm going to let these two speak, and then I've got four more, but I'm only going to allow you to say a short three-sentence paragraph just for time. So I apologize to the others who are coming up. So get ready to say what you're going to say. It's going to be quick. These two represent youth and kids' church, and if you guys, sorry, you have to kind of keep it short also, but...
I was going to say we're going to owe the kids' workers some chocolate after this because we're going really long.
We got 4 minutes.
So just quickly, rather than like kids' ministry is so important, but what we're doing back there is the same thing we want to do with the adults. I think that's the key I want people to know. We do not do childcare. If you call it childcare, I will pull my hair out and scream. Because we're not doing childcare. We're teaching kids to know and love and worship Jesus. And I just want to tell a quick story from last week. I was in the Saplings class, which is kindergarten and first grade. And we get to our prayer time, and we always do a listen to God for 30 seconds in quiet. And then you can say what you heard. And in Sprouts, they usually hear about dinosaurs and unicorns. But in Saplings, these kids who were in Sprouts 6 months ago, like suddenly... they are telling me things that they're hearing, and it's like they're starting to really like tune in. And they shared their prayer request with the classmates, and every kid, like, they helped pray for each other. They went over and they were like, "Can I put my hand on your shoulder?" We always ask for consent. Can I put my hand on your shoulder while I pray? Some of them say yes, some say no. But these little kids, 5-6-year-olds, said the most beautiful prayers, and I was like, the Holy Spirit is in this room so powerfully. And so what happens here is, in this room, is what we are also doing with your kids. And I pulled up my calculator with Zoe was talking about numbers. I need, if out of 5 week month, I need 65 people in the month. 65. If people only serve once. But I have a lot of people who double up, so.
Wow, you're doing a great job. Thank you. Casey's leading our youth group. Tell us a short version again. Sorry, we went long.
Okay. I serve because I love Jesus, like bottom line. So that's the qualifier. So if you love Jesus, you can serve. There you go. If you need a sign, there it is. And I love the next generation. I think we're supposed to pour into the next generation. There's so many scriptures about that, right? As fathers and mothers, we're supposed to pour in. And everybody's fathers and mothers, like, if we were following their God, it wouldn't be the one true God, right? Everybody's fathers and mothers don't follow God. So I think youth ministry is really important, and we can come alongside. We can come alongside the parents who are, and we can come alongside the parents who aren't, and speak truth into young lives. I'm just going to read this real quick, okay? Sorry, I feel nervous now. Says in Psalm 78, I think, could be 78, that's debatable, we'll see. if you can't find it, you can come look at my phone. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them. Children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, and a generation whose hearts was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. We are called to do that, and you don't have to have a degree to do it. Proof right here. And that is why we do what we do. That's why we pour into the next generation, so that a generation yet to be born will know the Lord and know his commands. I was getting poured into when none of these children existed. That's a long time ago, okay? And so, and now, like, they will go on and they will teach, and I won't be around to see it. There's an unborn generation that they will lead. Mm-hmm. And that is why we do what we do.
Amen. All right, we're about done. I'm going to invite real quick. This is going to be super quick. Carolyn, Kevin, John, and Chuck. And just give you guys, like, give us a sentence. This is representing pastoral ministry, small groups, caring for people, say something to us, and then we'll close. I'm sorry it's so short, but we kind of went over.
So I started doing my home group that we lead on Friday nights. Carolyn and I, we lead this group on Friday nights. We started at right after the pandemic, and you know, it was a time when we just had to wake up, you know, right? That was the thing. We had to wake up. And I remember feeling that. It's like, you know, I need to wake up and actually do something again. And I remember asking, you know, Jeff, what can I do? And this was something that needed to be done. I'll tell you, you know, just looking around at the church from time to time, it's like my heart just breaks for certain people. And that's where I know the Lord is calling me to those people. And so I just ask you, just to ask, Lord, where are you calling me to?
Yeah.
And he'll bring you to someone to reach out to. And so I just encourage that. And I know home group is one of those places where that's where the lifeblood of the church is. That's where you get to serve and really get to know people. And I'll tell you, you know, we've really got a group in our Friday night group that really serves the body. We do the homeless ministry downtown. We've served people in the church, bring them to church on Sunday mornings. So it's a good place.
Well said. Carolyn?
I'm okay.
Thank you. John, you're next.
It appears. Okay, I'm John. The Lord impressed on me years ago a need for men to have a place where they can deal with their stuff. I know a lot of people, guys, would like to be involved. They don't feel they're qualified. They got baggage they need to deal with. And I have to tell you, you should see my train. I've been dealing with it for years. I don't want to deal with it. But the reality is, serving the Lord is not about emotion. It's about just doing the job. And I come a lot of times, and I don't really want to come. But see, I recognize that if I don't come, Jesus is not going to meet with me, because you do have to show up. So we have a group that meets on Tuesday night at 6:30. It's called As Iron Sharpens Iron. And I invite you guys to show up, because me and the guys that are there, we can help you deal with your stuff so that you can quit feeling unqualified.
That's right.
Because reality is, it's all Jesus anyway.
That's right.
So join us. The 9th of December, we're going to have a get-together where we're going to do pizza or something. So if you're interested in that, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Sign up and join us, because I have to tell you, we have to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's church. And if the other thing is, if you're looking at this church and you're saying, we should have this here. I mean, you guys are the church. Talk to somebody in leadership and say, I would like to see this happen, and I would like to be a part of making it happen. Because it's just not going to do it on its own. It's all about us. It's all about you. And Jesus will be blessed by that, and so will you.
Amen. Chuck, close us out.
Well, I guess I'm proof that God can use anybody. I'm not one who likes to be in front of everybody. I do a lot of stuff behind the scenes if I can. But some of the biggest impacts in my life have been in people's homes, leading a home group, praying for people's homes, you know, for protection. And, you know, one morning we met here for men's group. This place didn't have doors. It was dirty. There was sawdust. And it was just men's group here. You know what we did? We did some spiritual warfare in this church. And I think that's one of the most important things I've ever done while I've been here. And I've done that in many other people's churches or homes. I know that other people did that in this building. And that's part of being a leader in the church. And come join us and be a part of behind the scenes of what he sees.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's stand. I want to thank you for your patience. We've gone about 4 minutes over. If you're new, we're not normally this long-winded, but we had a lot to fit in. I do want to say that last group that came up, they represent, we have 9 different home groups that meet in this church. They just represent a few of them, but that's a great way to get involved. And another great way to get involved is we have a new brochure out there. that we made just for this service. It's not going to go away after today. It will be here until a long time. But it has a little picture of a harvest field, and it says, I'm ready to serve at VCC. How can I get involved? And then you open it up, and it talks about what it means to do it. It even has like a little survey here of how you might want to be involved. So check that out in the next day, week, or month, or year. Let's pray. We are not going to have an official ministry time today because we've gone over. If you want prayer individually, find somebody. I want to pray and ask a blessing over us, though, as we go. Holy Spirit, we ask you to send us into the harvest. Lord, ignite our hearts, confront our laziness, heal our trauma, and show us, fill us with your compassion, that we would be a people that love serving, even when it's hard, because we love you. We say that you are worthy of it all, and to that end, we want to serve others so that we can serve you. Lord, we give you this church again in this pivotal time that we're in. We invite you to move and just overflow in this place with the goodness of God. May it be, Lord, I ask your blessing on each person here. Lord, would you kindle afresh in each of us now gifts that you've put in us that we could bless others and bring you honor? I ask that would happen, and we go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, bless you. Have a great Sunday. Peace to you. If you're new, we'd love for you to visit our foyer. Fill out one of those cards. Have a great day. Enjoy it. Bundle up tonight. It's going to freeze.